You're listening to Write Winning Proposals, where you learn strategies to write clear, concise, and compelling proposals that persuade your clients and win more business. Here's your host, Michelle Theriault.
Welcome to another episode of the podcast, Write Winning Proposals. In my last blog article titled, Waiting to the Last Minute is a Recipe for a Failed RFP Response Submission, I talked about a 12-step process to ensure you don't end up submitting a losing bid because you didn't have a plan. If you missed it, visit my website to read the article. In this and the next few podcasts, I'll outline all 12 steps. So here we go. Step number one, pre-RFP issue. The more you prepare for before a formal RFP is issued or before an RFQ is issued, the better off you'll be. While you won't know about all of the RFPs before they're issued, your marketing and sales staff should be tracking potential clients and know when current supplier contracts are coming up for renewal or rebid. Most formal RFPs include limitations on contact with the client and their staff once the RFP is issued, which limits your ability to gather information that can be useful to your proposal response. In many cases, making unauthorized contact with the client during an RFP process can get you disqualified from bidding. For less formal or non-competitive proposal submissions, this is less of an issue, but making contact during the process is still risky. It's better to start preparing in advance if you know about an upcoming RFP. For formal RFPs, you can use the pre-RFP issue phase to make contact with the individuals in the organization, to gather more information, learn more about them, introduce your key individuals from your company, and tell them more about yourselves. This makes it easier for you to respond to the proposal once it's issued, and the client will have more of a connection with the people and the products in your company. Another advantage to engaging clients before the RFP is released is to educate them on other issues and considerations relative to the service or the products you're delivering. You can give them ideas and information they can include in the RFP itself. This can involve building in requirements that you can easily meet, additional services you can provide, specifications you already work with, or criteria that matches your capabilities. While sharing information and making introductions is very valuable, you can also use a pre-RFP period to do more research on the issues, the client, and the service, including your competition. And if relevant, align yourself with the right subcontractors, service providers, partners, and even technical or writing assistance for the proposal itself. The more of this you do in advance, the more time you can spend during the RFP phase on your proposal response strategy and crafting an effective written proposal. So step number two is the RFP review. Once you receive the actual RFP documentation, carefully review the entire document to prepare for developing your response and to identify issues, concerns, or details that'll impact your proposal. While it depends on the service and the RFP itself, here are typical things you should look at to ensure you can prepare your proposal effectively. Sometimes simple things like missing a mandatory site visit, not having the insurance requirements in place, or other details can disqualify you. So some of the things you should look for include the RFP process, the overall timelines, mandatory requirements, scoring, evaluation criteria, and waiting, the process for submitting questions, including deadlines, sources of additional information, such as a data room, online resources, or other documents, site tour dates and other client meetings, the actual scope of work, specifications and service levels, financial proposal submission requirements, forms, etc., the technical or written proposal requirements, usually questions, the submission and delivery requirements, insurance and bonding requirements, minimum experience, and page count, margins, and type size requirements of your proposal. So if the client has also provided a sample contract as part of the RFP, review it carefully to see what might impact your service solution or your pricing. Some RFPs require you to accept the contract as is, while others invite comment and modification through a specific process. Use care when objecting to clauses in the contract. Be sure they really matter to you, otherwise you risk creating a negative impression by objecting to insignificant issues. The information you must provide and the questions you must answer in response to the RFP proposal tell you what background information you need and the resources you require to address them effectively. This is the time to source those resources and set deadlines internally. In my next podcast, I'll deal with the strategy step, the one that you need to use to develop before you start to write your proposal if you want to win more business. So part of your strategy should be to ask me questions. So feel free to leave a comment on this or any other podcast episode by going to www.howtowinmorebusiness.com. My contact information's on the website. I'd love to hear from you. Of course, this topic comes directly from the book, Win More Business, Write Better Proposals. To get the book, visit our website or search for it online at Amazon and many other online booksellers. To order for your marketing staff, your trade association, or a conference, contact me directly, and don't forget to ask about my seminars, my workshops, and my proposal review service. And as usual, thanks for listening.
You've just learned one more strategy from the book, Win More Business, Write Better Proposals by Michelle Theriault. Visit www.howtowinmorebusiness.com and join us again for more strategies to help you win more business.